Church. Yeah, hope you are all doing fine.
Yeah.
And are you really excited to listen to the Word of God? Yeah, you have an expectation to listen to the Lord? Yes, yes. There was one story I just wanted to tell. There was one pastor and an assistant pastor, and they were holding two placards. They were holding two boards near the start of the bridge on the road. Near the start of the bridge, and the message which was written on the board was like this: the end is near, turn around now before it's too late. Okay, I say that one more time. They were holding placards, and the word says on the placard, the end is near, turn around now before it's too late. And there were a lot of cars going on, and they were turning. They saw that board, they saw that message, and they were turning. And there was one person who saw that, and he thought that they are talking about rapture. And he stopped his car and he started shouting at them, "Hey, you don't have any work. You want to preach, you go into the church, and why you are doing all these things on the road and everything?" And the pastor, they just listened. And then the man angrily, he drove off, and he was going. And suddenly, within 2 minutes, there was a loud crash sound. And then the assistant pastor said to the pastor, "I think we need to change the message which is on the placard." Then the pastor says that, "Yes, we should write simply that the bridge is closed." Okay, I hope you got this. Okay, so welcome to church. I just wanted to make this moment light. And the last Sunday, if you remember, what we learned was discipleship. Okay, and that was Pastor preaching on. And we are learning few of the core topics which the church is focusing on this year. So discipleship was one, and this year we also want to keep worship as our core to learn. And as we are growing in the Lord, and this year we are keeping this promise unto the Lord that we'll grow in worship too. We'll learn more about worship and we'll grow in that. So starting with that, let's all read together from John chapter 4. It's on the slide, and someone can help me reading this.
Jesus said, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jew. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth.
That was a long scripture reading. With that, close the sermon. Yeah, but not. Yeah, we need to learn more. Okay, so as you see in the later part of this the scripture, this is what our focus today is: learning about true worship. And I just wanted to give you the background of why this discussion happened. And this is taken from John, the book of John. And book of John consists of many of personal, intimate discussions. And unlike other Gospels, so John focuses more on one-to-one discussions, and this is one of those discussions where Jesus is talking to Samaritan woman. And this chapter itself contains a lot of theology. And when we talk about this worship, let me ask this question to the church. What do you think worship is? Talking to God. Praising God. Praying to God. It's a lifestyle, very nice. Sacrifice. Loving God. Mandatory. Praise God what He is. Okay, very nice. Well, whatever you have said, all comprises of worship. But if you try to put it in one way, then this is how it is. Worship is our It's our attitude that motivates action. It is not just in our thinking, but it is completely in our body, mind, and soul that we are worshiping the Lord. Okay? So singing, praying, praising the Lord, living a lifestyle which gives glory to the Lord, everything is part of worship. Worship is the occupation of the heart with God Himself. This is a direct connection where we are connecting with God. Okay? Real worship is consumed with an awareness and awe of our Lord. How glorious, how beautiful He is that we were singing in the morning. And God is. We are giving God to what He deserves. Okay? Like someone said, mandatory. Yeah, it is true. Because we are created to worship God. Okay? That is our purpose. Worship is achieved when we are totally consumed in the Lord. I would say that worship is more of spontaneous. Okay? You don't have to plan anything. It will come by your heart. So that is what is worship all about. Okay? So let me put it in this way. Like, if you talk about prayer, praise, and worship, then I would say that prayer is the occupation of the soul with its need. Okay? Because when we pray, we definitely have some needs. Okay? So, but when we praise for the amazing things God has done, the blessings that we have. But worship is completely, it is coming up with our soul and giving it to the Lord. Okay? So for what He is and what He deserves. So that is what worship, I will put it in this way. And going ahead, so let's read from this verse. Someone can read this verse.
O other God, but the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God.
So as we see here, who is the core of our worship? Who is the object? Is the center of our worship? Jesus Christ. Very good. Okay. So as you see here, Jesus Himself, when He is being tempted by Satan, He is quoting the verse, Old Testament, and He is saying that, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." And also, as we see here, Exodus 34:14, the Lord says, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, His name is jealous." This is very strange, right? God Himself is calling that, "My name is jealous," right? And yes, God is jealous God. I'll just give you an illustration. Like, how many of you are parents here? Yeah, good. Would you like if your child will say someone else as father or mother? You'll immediately tell the child that, no, you can't call them as papa or you can't call them as mom. Because I'm your father, I'm your mother. Similarly, God is a jealous God. If we are worshipping and if the core of our worship is not God and someone else, God is a jealous God. Okay? He He is our Father and He wants that praise. He deserves that praise. He deserves that worship. But going ahead, now what is the obligation of our worship? Why worship is needed? Jeremiah 7, 2, 3. Someone can do it.
All you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place.
When we come into His courts for worshiping the Lord, this is what God is putting things to be very clear. Okay? This is what the Lord says. Reform your ways and your actions. He wants you to set up all the things right first. When you are coming to the God of righteousness, He's expecting you to set all things right, then come to His house. There is also one verse which Jesus says that if you have something, when you go to the temple and if you have something against your brother, go meet your brother and settle that first, and then come to the house of the Lord. Okay, so that's our obligation, because until we are not setting ourselves right, we can't go and worship the Lord. And this is what the Lord says. This is His message. Who come through the gates of worship, gates to worship the Lord. One more thing which I wanted to bring it here. A lot of times our core of worship is something very much diluted. Okay? I would say that sometimes the music gets more enhanced, or sometimes our scripture reading becomes more, long. Sometimes what we try to do is that let me speak more words. It's not kind of show. We are here as bringing God the glory. The purpose of coming here is to worship the Lord. I don't want to sound very insensitive when we come and talk, and but we meet here. But that is not our purpose. Our purpose is we are coming into the house of the Lord to worship our God. That is the core. That is the center of our worship. Going ahead. Offering of worship. So what do we offer? Someone can read this verse.
It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name.
Worship is something that is not. Can we go to the Lord? This love, okay? What is the trust? Okay. But what is the offering that He is expecting? What can we offer to the Lord? Thanksgiving, praise, gratitude, okay? This is very nice. So all these things, if there is a wonderful song which says that Shukriya, which says that kya de sakta hu main, kya la sakta hu, kehta tujhe bas shukriya. This is the best that we can do, okay? Because whatever we try to give it to Him, this is all belonging to Him. So what we can do is that offering the the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So that is our offering of worship. Also, going ahead, opportunity. So yeah, someone can read this verse.
John 1:12-13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
If someone have noticed this or not, but before we started the worship, Pastor was praying and he was saying that we have this amazing privilege to worship the Lord. Right? It's a privilege. Yeah. So God has given us that opportunity that we can worship Him. Okay? You know what? Even if we don't worship, Jesus says that the rocks, the mountains will sing praises. Okay. But God has given us that privilege that we can worship Him. Okay. And adding into it, it also gives us a wonderful opportunity to realize what wonderful God He is, what wonderful things He has done to us, and declaring His awesomeness, His wonderfulness, His glory. And this is really, worship should become our priority. Okay? So we should always look for that opportunity where we can worship. Okay? In the church, if you have seen the song slides also, we keep one slide which says that we encourage you to pray, sing, dance. Okay, we want you to worship the Lord. Okay, so this is an amazing opportunity that we get, that the Lord is giving us unto us. Okay, let's read from the next context, which is of Daniel chapter 3, 1 to 30. You might have read it quite many times. Okay, so this is the story of those three Hebrew boys. Yeah, it's a long text. So one slide, one person, and some new person can read this. Okay, who has not read it?
King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, jither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they
heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty had issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve you our gods or worship the image of gold you have set up."
Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldier in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and the clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers and took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, leaped to his feet, amazement, and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty.
He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the open of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of the fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be cut into pieces and their houses be burnt into piles of rubbles, for no other can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
I know this was a long scripture, but this also again sets up the context for the true worship. As we have seen here, I want to tell something personal here. I have been born in a Christian family. I got this privilege to have worship right from my childhood. But there have been enough number of times wherein the worship has really touched me and brought me to the Lord. Then it brought a lot of conviction, a lot of, bringing me closer to the Lord. So in this case also, this is a very good benchmark example from Bible that we can see here. Like these three Hebrew boys, they stood up that not to worship an idol, worship only the Lord. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, as you all know from Babylon, he demanded an image of gold to be created in his image. It was a very tall image. And he was expecting his own self-glory to be proclaimed by the people and treat a man himself to be taken as God. So, don't you find such kind of situation in the current world, right? We also do that. A lot of men. There are men who are being treated as God men. Okay? And there are actors, cricketers, they have their own sculptures and people are worshipping there. God, like politicians, also like they are being treated as God. So, this is a world where idolatry is very prominent. And as we see here, from this context, we can learn. So, the obstacles of worship, when we are getting into a genuine, true worship, we are facing a lot of obstacles. We may face. Okay? So as we see in Daniel chapter 3, there are people, those who are idolaters. King Nebuchadnezzar, being a man, he wanted to be treated as God. And that's kind of a tall, very tall statue, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. So that whatever was the kingdom, even in the corner of the kingdom, can see that kind of a statue and they can bow down. Okay? And great number of musicians, a lot of instruments being played. It was a looking very pleasant or attractive, that kind of a moment it was. But in all those crowd, there are three people who are not bowing down and they are being identified. But we'll go to that later. So, another one is indifferent people. They are used to this. Like let's take an example of this. When Moses went to the mountain, people, they were carried away by their own sins and they made a calf of gold. Okay, so the people are very easy for them to forget the amazing things what God has done, and we men are man is very much tempted to be considering himself or making a very easy choice of leaving away God or not focusing on God and considering himself as God and maybe considering someone as God. It is very easy. Like if the rain is not falling, make rain as God. If the sun is very bright, make sun as God. Okay, that's very easy. So this is how idolatry comes, and this is how people become indifferent, and they whatever the king commanded, they were just following it. In most of the times, even in contemporary times, even in Christian world also, people become indifferent. They become used to normal traditions of church, and they just follow it as a routine. Just because I'm going for the last few years to Sunday, I'm waking up, I'll go and come. But the heart of worship is not there. Sometimes I have met few people and I ask them, why did you come to church? And they give weird reasons. Some say that I skipped the church because my maid was coming at 9 o'clock today. So I didn't come. Okay. And someone will say that yesterday I was working till late night and I couldn't wake up, so I didn't come to church. And someone will say that tomorrow I have exam, Monday I had exam, so I was at home and I was preparing. See, when you are worshipping, you are putting God as the center. You are putting God as the core. So that indifference will always be an obstacle to coming to a genuine worship. The people were influenced. King Nebuchadnezzar himself, like if he is commanding and if no one is following, you can see that they were thrown into fiery furnace. And this time, King Nebuchadnezzar didn't even believe that someone can really deny his commandment. And he is asking them again. And the three Hebrew boys say that, no, we don't want to bow down because we are committed to the Lord. And you saw that the furnace was made 7 times more hotter. Okay? So people, they are influenced. And there are king's men also, and they are complaining about these three Hebrew boys. So we find such kind of obstacles in our worship. When we come to the worship and we find all these obstacles. Now the observation of worship. Now let's look at the three Hebrew boys. And let's try to focus them. Their worship is being recognized because that worship is genuine. They say like this. They refused to worship the king's image. And they did not bow down. They stood firm on their convictions. And even if they say that, even if we go there and even if God is not with us, still we are not going to bow down. Okay? So that is a very strong conviction that they say. Then, genuine worship is also resented. It is always, when you are giving a genuine, when we are following a genuine worship, it will always be blocked by, it will always be hampered by. And as you see here, like there was no need of the Chaldeans to go and complain, but they were jealous of them, or they just wanted to report it. And there will be, obviously, your worship will always be, will have a lot of obstacles. Satan, devil will put a lot of obstacles to let you have a genuine worship with the Lord. Last, genuine worship is revealing. But however the devil tries that, however temptations come, but if the worship is genuine, it will be revealed. It will be revealed. I remember like when I was doing my engineering, that was my first time when I came out from my hometown. Like I was under my parents' observation every time. So when engineering, I came very far and I was associated with the church. And when my parents visited after a long time, and they met the church pastor and they said that we have kept our son in your hands, and you are like a father to him and you guide him. And I really find that very much, at this moment I feel having a lot of gratitude for that person who led me and he kept me, because you know how college life is and how youth life is. But genuine worshipers are being revealed. There are people, when you are worshipping to the Lord, it is easily revealed. I remember how my parents, they told that this is a wonderful church and you should be here only, because I find you to be growing up in worship in this church. So this is how if you have the genuine worship, it is revealing, and God reveals it to the people, and you can identify them and you can be associated with them. You can have fellowship with them. Now, obedience of worship. considering these three boys, three Hebrew boys, like they had obedience to worship the Lord. This kind of obedience needs a lot of confidence. Yeah. So you can read verse 14 to 17 if you remember that. If you have your Bible with you, you can read it from there, or if I can just skip, move to the previous slides. Okay. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of what I have said? And when you hear the song, here in verse 16, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods. We worship the image of gold you have set up. It requires a lot of confidence to say this kind of a statement, right? When David says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. It really takes a lot of guts, a lot of commitment, a lot of confidence to say that kind of verse, okay? Personally, in my life also, there have been situations, but this is what the song really inspired me. That even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because God is there with me. It requires commitment. Yesterday, Sandra was talking about baptism, and she gave a very good illustration. Like, if you are committed, you have to wear that ring, right? And it shows that you are committed to someone. And these three Hebrew girls showed that commitment. We are committed to our Lord. That we are not running away. We are not going to follow your orders. But they had the respect to him as their king. They didn't go disrespectfully. Okay, but they are with respect. They are standing for their commitment, standing for their confidence. Genuine worship requires a lot of genuine commitment. Real worship, we have to make that kind of a decision that really, Lord, I am committed to you, and there will no one who will come between you and me when I'm serving you, when I'm giving all the worship that I can give to you. There is a wonderful example of one IS officer I know, that he says that in my everyday work, there are a lot of people I meet, and many of the people try to bribe me, and but I refuse that. And I consider that as an act of worship. And it is really, because like the three Hebrew boys, he didn't bow down to the king. And this IS officer, he is saying that I'll not bow down to bribe. Okay? I'll do my genuine work, and I'm serving the Lord with whatever he's getting with the salary. He doesn't need any additional income with getting it to any other thing. He's serving the Lord by that act of worship. Also, last, our obedience of worship, it involves communion with the Lord. Okay? So the Lord says, Jesus said, wherever two or three gather in my name, I'll be there, right? So yeah, whenever you are worshiping the Lord, and you and Holy Spirit is always there. Okay, so Holy Spirit is in you. So whenever you are worshiping the Lord, God is there. Let He come and dwell in that worship. Let Him be the core of that worship. And as you see in that image also, in this image, like Nebuchadnezzar was surprised. When they went in, there were three people. And you can see that context. If you read it properly, there is no one else who is observing that. It's King Nebuchadnezzar himself observing that. He is saying that, weren't you three when you went inside? But why do I see four people now? So this is amazing. Like God is coming when you are giving the genuine worship. It involves the communion. It involves God coming in between, coming in that presence. So it involves conviction. Without conviction, we can't have that. Okay? So we have to have that conviction that this worship is Lord to you. Okay? Now I'll come back to the incident of the discussion which Jesus was having with Samaritan woman. So once again, someone can read this, and we'll come to true worship.
You are in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth.
So what we can find here is, I'll try to distinguish, there are two types of worship which we can see here. One is religious worship and another one is the genuine worship. Okay? So let's try to understand the religious worship which the woman was talking about. Okay? Worship that is earnest. She is saying that all our forefathers were worshipping on this mountain. Okay? So this is what, like all the years, all this has been going as a tradition. Okay? They are sincere people. They have been doing this. They doing this for years and years. And they are saying that they used to worship on the mountain. So they used to think that God is only present on that mountain. That was the Old Testament time when, if you know, the holy priest will go into the Holy of the Holies. That is what they were believing, that God will come there. But God has not. Jesus has broken that that partition. He has broken that veil. Now, as we understand, He is everywhere. He is amidst us. He is in our His presence. We can feel it here. But this is what she is saying, that our fathers used to worship that there on the mountain. But you Jews, you say that God is there in Jerusalem and we should worship there. Then worship that is exclusive. They are saying that our fathers, हमारे लिए तो यही जगह है और आप लोग के लिए वही जगह है. No, worship is not that kind of exclusive. It can be anywhere. Worship can be done in your home, in your washroom, in your kitchen, in your office work. Everywhere you can do that worship, because you believe in God and you praise Him, you think about Him and you try to connect with Him, you pray to Him. Okay, so it can be anywhere. Like Jesus Himself says in one of the verses, He says that if you really want to pray, you go in a room and lock it in yourself and then do the prayer. Okay, so this is what God loves us. He recognizes our worship. Okay, there is no specific place which is established as that only is the place of worship. Worship that is empty, ye khokla ban hai, right? This is what they were following, right? For over years and years, but they never knew. Like she was saying that, where can I get this living water? And Jesus is saying that if you know that I'm the one who can give you living water. Okay? So this is very, very amazing, which the passage talks about. Now let's try to understand what is righteous worship, which is the genuine worship. Okay? So can anybody tell me where can be the place of worship now? Anywhere. Yeah, very good. Okay. So, but God is, for Him, the main place of worship is our heart. Very good. Yeah, this way. Yeah. That's why we call it heart of worship. Our heart should give Him the worship. Okay, that's the place of worship. Okay, so wherever we go, even if you are on our vehicle, wherever you are going, okay, wherever you are standing there, sitting there, even when you are laying down, okay, so you can worship the Lord, and that's what our heart should give Him, that worship. Okay? Now, who is the person of worship? Whom you are worshiping? God? Our own self? No? Okay. Our own talents? No? Okay. Many times after the worship is over, many people tell me that the worship was very good and you sing very nicely and everything. Then I come back and say that that's very good. I praise God. But what part of worship do you really like? Okay. So what part of worship really touched you? Because I want to bring the core of the discussion is that worship was centered on Jesus. It was centered on God. So He is the person of our worship. The principle of worship, that we, though someone can be Jew, someone can be Greek, someone can be from any person, any background, but we have this principle of worship that God has been our Savior and He is the one who created us. And we are created only for this purpose, to worship Him, to adore Him. Going ahead, the provision of worship, God has given us the opportunity. Like He has called us sons. He has adopted us sons. Like Pastor, once again, like I really like that line. It's really a privilege to worship the Lord. It's an amazing provision that God has given to us. Okay? And this privilege also brings back to this, that when we worship Christ, this is what Christ has said, that I am the way, truth, and the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father. Okay? So this is amazing provision that He has given us. When we worship Jesus, we worship God and reach to Him. the presence of worship. So God is there every time. He is there. He has said that wherever you gather in my name, wherever two or three gather in my name, I am there. And let's come to the last part, that is passion of worship. Let's try to understand this. We'll go back to this last verse which Jesus said in verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. So God is searching for true worshippers. Let's try to understand this with this illustration. You can see here, this is a wanted ad in a newspaper. You might have applied for many jobs and you can see that, right? Wanted, like people are looking for these kind of people. And I'll try to put it in this, that God is searching for true worshippers. And what is the qualification? What is he looking in that true worshipper? That we should worship him in truth and in spirit. Yeah? So I want to end this with one good story, which is of Mad Redman. The song, it's about a song called as Heart of Worship. And it was a time when in the 90s, early 2000s, a lot of heavy music was coming into the contemporary churches. And music was getting more and lyrics were getting very mediocre. And it was not really focusing on the verses or biblically kind of worship. And as the pastor of that church, Matt Redman, where he was worship leader, the pastor said that, I think we are too much getting distracted and we are moving away with the core of worship, that is Jesus. So why not next Sunday you come with a song which doesn't have any music. And it is only about people singing, worshiping God, giving him all the glory. The focus of all that song will be God himself. And Matt Redman was thinking, what kind of song should I write? What kind of song? And it took a lot of time and a lot of prayer. And then he wrote this song. It says that when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship. So this is an amazing song that Matt Redman has written, which talks about the coming back to the heart of worship. Okay? God is looking at the heart. When David was to be anointed, Samuel was saying that, Lord, this person looks very fit, energetic. Is he the one who is going to be the king? And he was talking about many other sons of Jesse. But God said that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart of the man. Okay? So coming back to the heart of worship, this is the time. I request everyone to stand up at their place. And we can sing this song, which is about heart of worship. So that's the heart of worship. And this is a slide which we put it in our every worship session. This PPT is there. And it says that we desire to put it in this way. God desires this congregation. This year, let us try to focus on what God is talking to us, that let's concentrate on worship. Let's put it in our daily life, in our lifestyle, that we want to worship you, Lord. It will be a genuine worship. Let's sing praise worship. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to praise.